Arratsaldeon. Corazón filmaren prentzaurrekoa egingo dugu orain.
Good afternoon. Let's commence the press conference of the film of the official section, The Reasons of the Heart. We have with us the director Arturo Ripstein, his scriptwriter Paz Alicia García del Diego, the actors and actress Vladimir Cruz, Arcelia Ramírez, Plutarco Acea and Patricia Reyes Píndola, Alejandro Canduff, the director of photography, and José María Morales and Robert Fiesco, the production and co-production. First question in the front row. Hi, good morning, Arturo Ripstein. Thank you very much for giving me the great gift that you've given me. It's been a marvelous film that I've just seen. It reminds me a lot of Blanco Atoiza and Miguel Ángel Azolaga, great friends of mine, Argentinians, Argentinian actors. I would like to ask you, I don't know what to say. I've run out of words with this film. The close-up looks like Sophia Loren. The first shot, marvelous shot in the beginning, the first scenes of the film. And I'd like to ask you, why did you cut off a lot of the heads? Is that to hassle and to make the viewer and the audience a bit uncomfortable? No, I'm not cutting the heads off. The heads are there. Yes, they do cut them off. Well, ask the photographer. No, they're not very cut off. It is true, it's a format within the projection that does this. Perhaps I've not seen it during the screening today, but shall we say the frames are very precise, they're very well. That close-up that you're talking about at the beginning of the film, if you see the film with with plenty of attention, the last is identical to the first one, but there is one when she finds the husband, and the first time she meets her husband the first time, yeah, that the frame is perfectly, and then you repeat the same sort of thank you very much. How did you do this? We repeat things in the film because the obsession stories such as this tend to make things the same, but with more and more fire heating up. You've adapted it to our days when you talk about the internet and where you draw, and then the little girl answers to that. And then the music, the music lover, is that a crazy type of luck or a sick type of love? It's an illness. I think it's a sick type of love that more than being a craziness, she wants something to leave, to make her leave her day to day. She'd fall in love with the Cuban or any possibility that would open up the open up the doors of her apartment to leave her day to day life. And the first question that you asked Arturo about the cut off heads, I asked him at a certain time, and his answer was probably, he doesn't remember now the answer to give me. He said, if the title of the film is The Reasons of the Heart, that the reason doesn't understand. So, okay, these are the reasons without one's head. That's what he told me. So therefore, that's the reason he probably cut the heads off. I'm interested in the photography as well, the way you worked with Arturo Ripstein, which is a bit complicated in the backgrounds and the backdrop, and the middle distance shots, for example. It's difficult to fit them into the frame so that you open up later. How did you work upon this? I would like to say it was a bit complicated. The scenes were a bit complicated because they started in one place, and sometimes these were shots that last for a lot of minutes. It were complicated, but in turn, as the idea of Arturo, it was quite fun to do it because he had certain ideas and to see how the actors were working at the same time. So therefore, this motivated me quite a lot. And so at the end, they end up being quite simple to a certain extent, the way we made them and shot them.
Buenos días.
Hi, good morning. I liked your film very much. It's a tribute. I want to congratulate you all. I think it's done with a lot of insides and a lot of heart. How did you achieve this unity which is reflected in the film? Because you can't say the script okay, but the direction doesn't work. The direction's good, but the actress doesn't work. All the contrary here. How did you manage to achieve this unity amongst us all? I imagine with plenty of money, no? No, not at all. Not with The genius of a cinema director is to surround yourself with the best people possible and allow them to do what they know how to do the best. And this undoubtedly is the case in this film. The scriptwriter was the best, and the production crew, he himself, and actors as well, with the actors that I've had the good fortune to have in this film. The technical crew. So therefore, this is formidable. This allows me at least to come out close to what one wants to achieve with the idea that one has in the film, and then what comes to the end, sometimes there's a great difference. But here the difference is very, it's not much difference to what I wanted from the beginning to with the final result. I would like to add one thing that had happened to me from the outset when I thought about the idea of making this film. The first idea that I thought was to enclose it within a building, not only due to dramatic reasons, because she's almost drowning, but and also we producers that are in Hollywood have to bear in mind budget things. So the fact that her not leaving the apartment, the tone is she's not going to walk out to the street. This gave it a tone which is confining all of the people that were integrating themselves in the team, in the crew. I think the claustrophobia, the claustrophilia, and she's almost drowning was maintained in the building. The building devoured us and embraced us for a period of 3 weeks when we shot the film. I would like to add, because the same thing happened to me when I entered into the film. When this marvelous character, who's the husband, Arturo Ripstein, came up to me and said, after the first take, he said, "Listen, I don't want any tricks. No interpreting. I want your gizzards. I want your insides to come out." And how do you, asking as an actor, one is prepared to put one's insides into it. So he asked me, and that's how that's what I tried to do. And I think that's quite noticeable. And I think it happened to all of us.
Bien, buenos días.
Hi, good morning. Following the tributes, I want to congratulate you with my colleagues. The question to Thelia, that character that appears throughout the entire film, and that emotionally speaking, I imagine needs a great effort from inside, from the bottom of your stomach, because in many sequences, because you change situations, I'd like to know how you prepared yourself for the role, how you carried out the preparation and constructed the character Arturo. When you read the script or from the beginning, did you need black and white to tell this story? The first thing that I did when I read the script was to know that I had a very beautiful character in hand, and I felt quite very privileged, and also in turn, I felt a bit afraid. And I wrote to Arturo to ask him, what did he want me to do to prepare the character? And he said, the only thing that you've got to do is to be very happy that you're going to play this role. Don't do anything more than this. And to a certain extent, this made me, relaxed me, and it enabled me to see the character, the possible character I could portray, because with these monuments of Universal, these characters of Universal literature, which is inspired upon Madame Bovary, which is an enormous character of Universal literature, one runs the risk of not managing to make the grade. Here we concentrated with Emilia. The work with Arturo really started 3 weeks before we started to shoot the film. We had a rehearsal session, which were quite concise and definitive. Arturo's indications were very accurate and precise. We had to confront, and this was a big challenge as well, but also a great delight, to the texts, peaceful texts. And it was enormously well prepared, and they were very beautiful, the dialogues I think she's referring to. And then we had to chew them and to taste them at the same time, and to fill your mouth, so to speak, with these dialogues. And then Like the emotional roots that the character takes, we had to link them all together, and then the choreography as well, which was quite complicated, but quite logical at the same time, and that had to do with the situation that the character was going through, Arturo, how he placed it on the screen. So if all the limits were well clearly defined, and it's like when you set the limits to kids and they play and they feel much safer to dive into the deep end, to the dramatic situation of the character. The one was a bit more complicated than another, but the conditions, working conditions, were so well prepared by Arturo that I was prepared to get involved into these situations, made it a real delight. Paradoxically, it was a real delight, though it might sound like a paradox, vis-a-vis filming in black and white. The reality doesn't have a structure, so therefore in fiction, one takes fragments of reality and gives its meaning and suits it to the structure and the geometry of all this. If it's geometry, we see it's determined by black and white in this case. The reality of fiction in black and white becomes much more precise, I think. In black and white, I wanted to make all of my films, and my producers normally don't allow me. In this case, they did. But for many reasons, if you ask directors in my generation, what are their 10 favorite films, the most probable thing is 8 of those 10 are in black and white. Black and white is how I learned to love cinema, and I thought it was very beautiful to do so. A little later, at certain moments, I read that Picasso said, and if Picasso said so, that's unquestionable when he talked about his works in black and white, the Guernica, and his engravings, that color makes things weaker. If Picasso says said this, well, color obviously weakens a work of art. Hi, can you hear me? Yes, good afternoon. There's two questions for the director. The first is whether you can explain why you chose Madame Bovary for the film. And this film, there could be 3 golden shells. That would be your 3rd if you won it as a film. I hope you're a prophet and that the jury hear what you're saying, that I win a gold shell, the golden shell. Well, Madame Bovary, I think this question is more pertinent for Path, because I remember at a given moment she said, or I told her, I don't remember, it's not a script, it's an older script, it's not a new script, we're going to do Madame Bovary. I said, okay, we're going to do Madame Bovary, but the way you remember Madame Bovary, she had read the novel when she was 16 or 17, when is normally when you read the classics, one reads them when one's very young, which is quite fortunately, or at least in my generation, we read them when we were very young. And that educates you. And what I said to Path, and I insisted upon this, said, don't read it again. Remember it as it was, and what you remember of the novel and what you think is important, that's what we're going to do. We finished up making the last few days of Madame Bovary, which are 8 to 10, and ended up only being 2. And structurally speaking, this is the skeleton of the texts are very similar to Madame Bovary's novel. And now why? She'll tell you now. She's a scriptwriter. Okay. Practicing with a friend of mine in Madrid, talking, and I saw a film that had nothing to do with this. We started to talk about Buterio's, what in Madrid? No, we're in San Sebastian. We're in Madrid, I'm sorry. And I forget what I was going to say. We were talking about the great novels of El Buterio. Which ones we liked, Adultery, I think she said, and which ones we liked, and which, I think Madame Bovary, I love it as a novel, but the character seems to be detestable. Madame Bovary, I think she's a fool or foolish. It's very difficult to identify oneself with her. With all of the great novels on adultery, Madame Bovary, you feel like slapping her in the face and saying, I'll never be her friend, and even less me, maybe Flaubert, but not me. And I said, I'm going to try and make a Madame Bovary, make her not up to date, but make a nice, take away all of the fantasies and all of those foolish fantasies that she had, because she was quite foolish, by the way. And I confront her against anxiety, the anxiety of a normal, run-of-the-mill, day-to-day woman without romanticism and with frustrations and so on and so forth. And I think the story talks about the frustration and the insatisfaction, but due to nothing specific. And that's what she shares with Madame Bovary, but much, much, much leaner, shall we say. That's how I would define her.
Hola.
Hi. Congratulations. I enjoyed the film very much. I would like to ask Vladimir, how was it for you to play this role of an adaptation, which is quite free, of Madame Bovary, but an adaptation in a very Mexican surrounding the expressions of Arcelia, the neighborhood, the surroundings, the husband who's got a problem. He comes from a very chaotic city such as Mexico City. I've got to say, as I've been invited to this party, and it's an honor, and I've been very fortunate to be here, thanks to Arturo and Path and Arcelia, who I met quite a while back. So I'm going to work there, surrounded by an atmosphere which is not familiar to me. I have to adapt. And I'm working with Arturo, apart from the fact we've known each other for a long time. I'd heard that he was very serious, and I don't know how things were going to work. He's got a black legend behind him. And I was a bit concerned. Not because of the character. The character is a Cuban who lives there, and one gets more involved into the environment where he lives there. And I approached the text in that way, to be there. Everybody spoke in that accent, and I think the real expression really emerges. And when I arrived on the set, there was an atmosphere of creation, and when I saw Arturo on the set in front of the behind the camera, and that's how he worked with all the characters, this made things easier. I put myself in his hands, and I'm very happy. And I'm glad that the character has a conflict about being honest and not harming him. So therefore, at least he's an honest character at the end of the day. But I had a good time, and the truth has been a great pleasure for me to play the role and to participate in the film. I would like to ask you, where are the two golden shells? If I asked you where the Oscars are, well, where are the golden shells that you've won? Where have you got them placed at home? And where do you think the last will be the first, do you believe, because you're one of the last films? Yes. Yes to both questions. We do believe that the last will be first. The majority of the awards and prizes that I've had the privilege of winning are at the Filmotech of the University in Mexico, except three shells, which are the two gold shells and the silver shell. And these are kept in my studio. Onanistically, occasionally I open up the drawer and I touch them to make me feel better. No, I kept them. I've kept the three shells. Hi for Arturo and for Path. That's the question over here. One is, why the bolero at the beginning? And secondly, I'd like to know what you refer to when you said, when she talks about, we know the trajectory in Mexico, at least, that's what you're referring to. I'm talking about Bertela Marque. Libertad de Marquez is much longer than in Mexico. Libertad de Marquez than in Mexico. She was characterized as being the victim mother of a husband who abandoned and very malevolent, who cried. And he always complained about his luck in about 354 films. So therefore, She's the best crier of Mexican cinema. No one has cried as much as her. That's her school. Perfume de Gardenias, the bolero, is one of my... It's not a tango. It's a bolero. A bolero. It's one of my favorite boleros. And I use it every time I can in films, I believe. I think I've in 10 films where Perfume de Gardenias, the bolero is the background music. And in this film, there's very little music and only a couple of minutes or several minutes of music throughout the entire film, practically all linked to the conclusion at the end of the film, which is David Mansfield, who I've worked with in the past splendidly, at least in 6 films. And we got in touch early when we were making the film. From the outset, we knew more or less what music we're going to use. And quite kindly, he said, Perfume de Gardenias. And he said, yes, of course. Obviously, we're going to include this as well. It's a saxophone, a saxophonist. It's a Mexican saxophonist, which is splendid. And we, 6 versions of that melody were made for this film and some other film. And I like this one very much for this. But I don't know whether it sounds like a tango. It's a tango version, perhaps, of Perfume de Gardenias. Yes, exactly. Hi. Hi, good afternoon. Above all, congratulate you because we Mexican, we're great to be able to see Arturo Ripstein competing in the official section here in San Sebastian. And this is a question for Paz Alicia, for the text and the dialogues. Despite the fact that it's quite obvious everything is updated to the present moment, but it seems to me that the work with the musicality of the way people talk, which isn't colloquial, perhaps because I'm Mexican, I notice it more, but it's very yours, very personal, and it has to do with other films. And the question is, what sense does it make, do you give to it in this film? Well, in this film, as it's confined within an apartment, well, I understood that the dialogues could have more closed you are, the dialogues can grow and multiply themselves, and they grow. It's as if that we gave them fertilizer in order to grow. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, I've never thought that dialogues in cinema have to be bigger than life itself. I think they have to simulate being real, but not be real. And just like the camera and the structure, to give structure to day-to-day life, daily life, a fixed shot makes the environment beautiful. The dialogues have to, quote-unquote, daily dialogue has to make them more beautiful. And that's why I worked with the repetition and musicality of the dialogues. And I did this in Así es la Vida, That's Life, in the first monologue that he does in That's Life, which had a certain rhythm, and as of there, I liked it. And in this occasion, I said, I'm going to allow it, the dialogue, to grow and flourish.
Buenos días.
Good morning, and congratulations to the entire crew and the cast. And I want to add my congratulations to the other people that have spoke. 2 questions in that transfer of Madame Bovary to the film that we've seen on the screen. I notice, believe, a certain reflection upon traditional Mexican melodrama, that is say, with ironic, humoristic elements, with a certain vision that on certain occasions is a bit distant, but it's an accomplice with the audience. I'm not too sure whether that vision was voluntary by the directors. And another issue is vis-a-vis the portrayal. Arturo said that he wanted the actors to put their innards into the characters, but it's a film which is structured on the base of duos or duets of 2 people at the same time, and there's a person that replies to them. Now, I think there should have been more than just to say this. There should have been perhaps a coherence or a certain request of coherence in the relationships with Acelia in order to achieve that tone of the film.
Le contesto la primera.
The first part I'd like to answer. The three actors could perhaps answer this, the last question better, who might have a more precise judgment. I've always liked melodramas. I'm the son of a melodrama. I was brought up watching Mexican cinema and forming part of this genre. I like it very much. And to a certain moment in my life, I discovered that there were alternative options, but the genre that I continue to like is a genre which is quite ductile and very plastic, and it has brought about great moments. If we think about Dickens and the English 19th century, and Dostoevsky, for example, these are authors, and there are many, many that talk about melodrama, and these have been their option and their works. And literature has brought about unforgettable fruits. But the Mexican melodrama that I nourish myself for, it addresses very specific values, family, religion, and the state that we had to address. When I started to make melodramas, I was based upon these rules and this plasticity that allows you to go towards comedy or towards tragedy without jumping through the precisions of what a melodrama is. So therefore, I liked to do this, but to turn the coin, it's like taking a glove off and seeing on the inside the dark side, the wet side, the untangible side of a certain reality and a certain structure, narrative structure. The melodrama allows you to use, it's a genre which I thank very much for the fact that it exists. The problem is the name. Melodrama tends to be mistaken with soap operas, with on TV, that can form part of the genre without any problem, undoubtedly. But these soap operas on TV follow the old tradition of highlighting the endings where things are solved. As regards to the actors, one day writing, the Woman of the Port, which is our strongest perhaps script, I said, I want you to do it, make it immoral, not amoral. Amorality is not good. When everything's valid, it's like permissive sex. I want an immoral film, so therefore I want it to be sinful from the beginning to the end. And this film is a sinful film, and I like very much that adultery be sentenced like in the 1940s before the pill. All our modern marriages say, well, okay, they've got a relationship. No, she's an adulterous woman, and that's what interested me very much in the film. She studied with the nuns at the sacred inner convent, and this is absolutely true, by the way. She studied with nuns. I'm a Jew. She introduces sin, and I introduce guilt. The question as regards to the duos, in my case, it was very interesting from the casting, from the audition, to be absolutely accompanied by the director, breathing. Even with our breathing and with Arcelio, what can I say? She's an actress who completely gives her whole, and we're both worried about being in the same tone. That is, we knew each other beforehand. It was a privilege for me and a pleasure to be able to work with her again. I was very, very happy, undoubtedly, like we all were, but as regards to the direction, this triangle that's set up at the beginning with Master Ripstein is our breathing and her look, and with her and with Cantu, the dancing. So that's how I could define it. Thank you. The tone is the most complicated thing to make theater, well, do a play or in cinema, to give tone to a certain group of human beings. Everyone's got their own story in our own head and a great script like Paths, but everyone imagines it in a different way. What Arturo does very well and makes it easier, because it's not a difficult film is when you've got a poor director and a poor script. When you've got a good director and a good film and a good script, it works. We create the tone from the first day, and it's created from the person who gives you a coffee in the morning, of the lady who comes with the coffee, and that's everyone is already in tone on the set when you arrive on the first day. You feel it. You know perfectly well what is required from you, and it becomes quite simple, despite how difficult it seems on the screen. But it's easy to portray someone when everything is set perfectly, when there was an enormous amount of work on the script between Paz and Arturo, and everyone knows what you need to do, what's required of you. And in that sense, we can't explain the pleasure it was to portray a script by Paz and directed by Arturo. It's the simplest thing on the planet to do.
Bueno,
well, we had to resolve the scenes on a certain day. One was, each scene was more challenging than another, but I think there was, we were worried, especially for me, the scenes of the little girl. Since I arrived on the set and I saw her, your heart started to pound very hard and strongly. But apart from this adrenaline rush, there was a certain, not serenity, but I would say slowly but surely, bit by bit, we started to resolve very delightfully. We had to put it on the screen. We had to play it the right way. And Paz's texts and dialogues are musical, and they're almost like a musical score. Arturo also directs like this, like an orchestra, a director of an orchestra. So therefore, there was a great precision in the tone prior going onto the set. That is, say, right, everything was done on set. It was all done very close, and then we set up the dance, and then, like an orchestra, we linked all of the elements together, and we were prepared. And I think there was an adrenaline flow, and we thought, I think it's a character who took us all the way to the risk of subjecting ourselves to her dramatic situation. But I think the conditions were there, and we had to be prepared to do so and to be there for whatever took place.
Sí, bueno.
That coherence that you're talking about, I think, is constructed quite arduously, first of all, by Arturo. And as Pilar said, and I said before about the breathing, he placed you exactly where that character came from the insides. And so, and also through Arcelia, for example, sometimes it's difficult to play the role. And I only got a little piece, but it's much easier for me because she had different energy flows coming towards her. But there were two powerful things, which was the indications by Arturo, and that you came along and you found that situation. Arcelia is a very sure and very, she gives her whole when she portrays her role. And as of there, I think we created that very powerful coherence that perhaps you've seen on the screen. If you'll allow me to ask another question, production side, it's not an easy production. It's not a film which is evidently commercial, not at all. I'd like to ask the producers how you've carried out the co-production and what have been the financial basis that have made it possible to make this excellent film. The genuine producer is Roberto Fiesco. We are invited guests. This is the fifth film that I've got the pleasure of co-producing with Arturo. We started with Deep Crimson, and I want to deeply thank them to continue to collaborate with them. But the truth is that the producer is Roberto. I want to thank, in any case, Ibermedia, that from the outset helped us quite clearly, as it's been doing from the beginning. I think in the world of co-production in Latin America would be unthought of without the existence of Ibermedia, and secondly to Spanish TV as well on our behalf, because there's always been a very special relationship with all Latin America, and more specifically with Arturo Ripstein's cinema. And okay, Roberto, you can talk about the production. For me, this film was an absolute gift. It was a project which was completely unexpected. I had met Arturo 18 years ago when I was starting to study cinema at university, when he did the started to film and shoot The Woman of the Port at the house of my house. He shook my hand, and 18 years later he said to invite me without knowing to work on this film and to produce it. And the truth is, I never ever thought that someone was going to give me a gift or an opportunity of this nature. I'd produced 12 films, but producing this film, I knew it meant like a professional exam of a producer, they say, to work with a director who has been filming before my parents even had ever met and I was born. Undoubtedly, it was going to be like the biggest challenge in my life to work with this gentleman. I wanted him to be happy, but however, what happened was I found a director, the most generous director and the youngest director who I've ever worked with in my life, the director with very fresh proposals, an open director to possibilities, to get to know a new group of people, to work with young actors, to experience new things, to always to use novel proposals. And this surprised me even more, to find someone who, despite the fact that he's got a great career behind him, with dozens of feature films that for everyone in Mexico and internationally, he is a reference. It's something that at all times was prepared to experiment and try things and to confront new things, not only digital format, but the youth of many of us who participated there. And it wasn't at all difficult. The truth is, it was an experience, just like Aracelia said, enormously delightful and a great pleasure. And I've never heard anyone thank a crew or a working or a team, such as Arturo said, and a technician from a technical crew, someone in the staff, a production assistant, the director and a director, and Arturo Ripstein thanking people of that nature. I think that I was just hanging out for this moment to arrive, and I want to thank him infinitely for being just here in San Sebastian and to be at a panel like this and to have dreamt about reading at San Sebastian and cinema, A Place Without Limits, and all of these things, and being here with the reasons of the heart and in the official section to be here. And I've never been here before, and it's a great pleasure, and it's to be here, the truth be said. I can answer one of the duos, because I was thinking about it. The truth is, it wasn't clear until you asked this question. What I tried to do was to open up the heart of the main character. The duets and the duos were like a scalpel from the different angles and the different facets that established the profile of the heart of the main character, relationship with a daughter, with a lover, with a husband, the surrounding area, with a mother, which gave her the possibility to talk about the different phases of this perturbed or disturbed heart. Hi, good afternoon. My question is for Arturo. I'm pleasantly surprised by the way you use music so minimalistically, where you could probably end up using a bigger score, but I see that you haven't done this. Is this that you'd already visualized it beforehand, or do you have complete confidence in your actors to not use the resource of a background soundtrack to increase the emotion at certain moments of the film?
Yes.
Yes and yes. I'm a musical illiterate. They say when I was a young kid, there were two options in life, and one is to buy records or to buy books, because there wasn't enough money to do both. So therefore, I was the one of the guys that decided to buy books. And in my house, you didn't hear too much music. So therefore, I'm completely a musical illiterate. I'm musically illiterate, and I've been taught and I enjoy it a lot more. But I've never understood the accompanying of images with music. I've always wanted for there to be very little music, because what usually happens is it becomes like a bastard element, that is to say, music takes your nose to see what you have to feel if there's a fright or there isn't a fright. But unfortunately, in real life, there's no background music because we don't know when one's going to be attacked out in the street or whatever, or when one gets caught in a motel. So therefore, in real life is infinitely much more, would be much more useful than in films. In films, I trust the script and I trust photography and the actors, and invariably, and I've done it always, I've never made a film, well, perhaps one or two, in which I've not deeply believed in and that I've been involved, supposing that I was going to make a good film. Practically none came out, but I thought that they were going to be a good film. Undoubtedly, I believed it beforehand. And one of the elements that I never used or is that of music, to drag you by the hand to see where you're going emotionally. I leave that to one side. There is very little music in my films. One last question, please. Yes, I would like to ask Jose Maria whether there's a date, a confirmed date or premiered in Spain. And in Mexico, could you confirm when it's going to be premiered? In Spain, we have a confirmed date. It's the 7th of October. The film is invited to an enormous amount of festivals already, important festivals, without even having seen it. So there's a great trust in you as well. Some people that have seen it, not completely finished as well. So therefore, it's got a long way to go. And in Mexico, it'll be premiered in the Morelia Festival in October next month. And as of October, it'll be in another international film festival. And it'll go throughout the entire country, thanks to this Mostra. At the beginning of next year, it'll be premiered in cinema theaters. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.